Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's epistle text focuses on something that is core to the Christian understanding of God and core to our understanding of Christian life, and that is love. The word love in English has to carry many meanings. We use the same word to say, I love ice cream, or to say, I love my goldfish, or to say, I love my child, or to say, I love God. And it is clear that in each of these statements, we must mean something very different. I hardly think that loving God could be the same as loving ice cream. In the Greek language, the language that the New Testament is written in, there are many different words for love, different words for different kinds of love. The Greeks used the word eros to mean love, love that had a romantic or a sexual context. It's the word from which we get the word erotic. It was a form of love that felt a little bit irrational and out of control to Greeks who valued Stoicism greatly. Another word that they used for love is phileo. That refers to brotherly love or friendship love. It's the word from which the city Philadelphia takes its name, city of brotherly love. A third word for love refers to the kind of love that we have within our families, storge. It is said that blood is thicker than water, and the assumption is that there is a kind of love rooted in family relationships that creates a kind of mutual care and loyalty. But the word which is used consistently in the Epistle of John is the word agape. That's the kind of love which has been called the highest form of love. It's the kind of love that thinks of others first. It's the kind of love that reaches out and desires the best for the other. It is self-sacrificial, but probably the word that is used most commonly to describe it is that it is unconditional. It is a love that embraces not just lovers or family or friends, but is extended fully and freely to whoever happens to cross our paths. And John says that this is the kind of love that we should particularly have within the family of faith. It's the kind of love that God demonstrated in sending Jesus to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. And John tells the family of God that since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Now, I don't know about you, but the reaction that I sometimes think, but don't generally say aloud, goes something like this: you've got to be kidding. Now, some people are easily lovable. They treat me well. They have a positive impact in my life. I like being around them. On the other hand, some people, and I hate to say this, but sometimes even some people in the church, they drive me crazy. They make unreasonable demands on me. I feel like maybe they're being less than honest with me. Or they're people that I just somehow see in a negative light or seem to attribute a piece of negative character to. You probably have in your own lives a list of the kind of people that drive you crazy. I've been at some meetings where somebody periodically talks about their relationship with other drivers on the road. Anyway. And then we are confronted by a text like John's letter telling us that our fundamental calling as people of God is to love, even the people who drive us crazy. And some days that feels like a downright impossibility. So how do we love these people? I think the first thing that we need to focus on is that from the perspective of Christian spirituality, we do not consider that love is primarily a feeling. Feelings come and go. Feelings arise spontaneously. We can't really control our feelings. We can only control what we do with our feelings. And if we rely on our feelings to motivate actions that are loving, there are some people, I think maybe in all of our lives, who would simply never be the recipients of our love. Love is a choice. It's not an emotion. Love is an action, not a feeling. Love is deliberate, not passive. It's something that you do, something that you live out in your relationships with each other. In 1 Corinthians 13, we find Paul's description of love. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. While some of this is about attitude, much of this has to do with choice. The choice to be patient when we are anxious about something. The choice to be kind in the face of unkindness or even downright hatred or hostility. The choice to persevere in doing good, even to those who we think may not even really deserve it. I don't know about you, but I find often the choice to behave in a loving fashion is hard work. So how do we love when we just don't feel like it? Well, I think we have to go back to basics. Our text today tells us that God is love. That's the essence of God's character. But it also tells us that God is the source of love. On those days that we don't feel very loving, the starting point is to go back to God, to reflect on the love of God for us and for everyone else, even the people that we are finding difficult. It is only through our connection with God that the love of God can flow through us to others. In our gospel text, Jesus identifies himself as the vine, and we are the branches. The Christian life starts with our connectedness to Jesus, branches of the vine, which is the source of life. And the Christian life is to result in fruit. And Paul helps us define that truth, fruit. Now, the temptation is to define fruit as our accomplishments within the family of faith, the good deeds that we do. But Paul identifies the fruit of the Spirit at work in our lives as, and now I have them written down so I'll get all nine of them, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Character transformation is what the Spirit is about in our lives. Are you as loving as you would like to be? I'm afraid that many days that if I pose that question to myself, the answer is no. And John identifies that as a major disconnect for we who are part of the family of God. If anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar, So what do we do about that disconnect? Well, the good news is that I do not have to dredge up love from within myself when I'm not feeling any of it. God is love. And the more we immerse ourselves in that reality, the more we open ourselves first to experience the love of God, and secondly, to become a conduit of God's love for the world around us. It's like we are the pipeline through which God wants to pump his love into the world. It's not that we manufacture that love. We are just the pipeline. And there are days that I really sigh a sigh of relief about that, especially when I look from my toes upward and kind of go, okay, I don't know how much love I'm seeing. But we can still be conduits of God's love. That fruit, which is love, happens as we remain connected to the vine, who is Jesus. That love is his love flowing through us. We love because he first loved us. With the agape kind of love, that unconditional, no matter what kind of love. It is that love for us which gives us confidence as we stand before God and helps us to grow in love for others that is not about feelings, but about making choices for their well-being, because we know that God loves them too, even the people who drive us crazy. The love of God in Christ created a loving community 2,000 years ago. Early Christians were made recognizable by their actions. Early in the second century, the Emperor Hadrian sent Aristides to scope out these weird Christians. His final comment, "Behold how they love one another." Throughout history, and certainly often in our world, love is transactional. Loving the people who love us. I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. What set apart the early Christians was their loving community, and even beyond that, a loving service to those who were in need. I love the story that I read about times of plague. And when everyone was hiding out for fear of their lives because of the plague that was ravaging Europe, Christians expressed their love by going out and tending to the sick, even though the probability was that they would end up sick as a result. Father Damien, who was famous for his mission to the lepers, served among the lepers for years, and of course, ultimately ended up with leprosy. Christians, historically, there have been these stories all along that remind us that to love others is more important than to look out for our own well-being. And that's a very countercultural message in our day. There's a song that became popular in youth groups starting in the 1970s. "They'll know we are Christians by our love." Expressing the love of God in word and deed does remain the primary call of individual Christians and the Christian community as a whole. I'm hoping that many of you will come to the Missional Foundations workshop on Saturday, because part of what will happen in that is really our reflection on how we can live our love as a community and in connection with the community around us. So please, if you haven't already, sign up. Come, add your voice to the discussions of how it is that God is calling us to be a loving community. My prayer, because I see a lot of that love in this community, but my prayer is that God would continue to deepen that love in us. Amen.